Bubba Wallace here from 2311 Racing. You know what's slower than a pace car? Waiting at the car wash. That's when I fire up Chumba Casino. It turns those slow minutes into fast fun. With new games every week, you'll never get bored. Next time you're stuck in the slow lane, speed up with Chumba. Play now at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Easter should be the best day of the year. It's a celebration of the resurrection of hope. Come to Crossroads Church and celebrate an empty tomb and a living hope. Info and service times at crossroads.net.
The Burt Show.
Previously on The Burt Show.
I've been married to my husband for 4 years. I have a stepdaughter. My husband and I, we get along really well. He's a really good guy, but I never felt in love with him. I love him. And so I feel half satisfied all the time. And I have met this man. We've had lunches together, and it's just like sparkling. Nothing has happened between us yet. And my husband is going out of town this weekend. This man and I have been planning to go to dinner tonight. It is implied that it's a date. We're both thinking dinner and possibilities, and that's been said more or less. I feel more in love than I've ever felt. I feel like this is what it's supposed to be. I guess I almost want you to tell me don't do it.
Right, so that was Friday on the show, and a bunch of you guys called up saying just don't do it.
Yeah, there was a lot of really passionate people. One woman called up and said that she had been affected for the rest of her life because of her parents' affairs.
But most were calling up saying, look, this is not going to be a one-time thing here. Some were calling saying they got away with it, but they think about it every day for their entire life.
Mm-hmm.
So we told her, don't do it, don't do it, don't do it.
Right.
But the truth is that her husband was out of town, and she sort of had a free pass. So did she go through with it or not? And we even said on Friday, like, if you do it, you can't really say it was a mistake.
Well, she's been building a relationship with this guy at work, so it's not like it was just her husband's out of town and she was going to hook up. It was this guy that she was already flirting with and having suggestive text with and conversations with. So she was already kind of building this relationship up with this guy at work, and they were just going to finish it off this weekend while the husband was out of town.
So it was a series of bad decisions, but yes. You couldn't look back at it and go, I just made a mistake.
Mm-hmm.
So Joanne is back, and she is on The Voice Disguiser. Joanne, when we got off the phone with you on Friday, did anybody say anything to you that really sort of jolted your system?
Yeah. The woman who was talking about how she was affected by her parents cheating, or her mother, I can't remember which one she did, but that it changed her life, and she felt she has trust issues and all that really, really got me.
Because
mm-hmm. you're starting to think, look, if I do this, I might scar my stepdaughter forever.
Yeah, I did.
Because your stepdaughter, you said, is like a daughter to you?
She is. I mean, she's with me and my husband most of the time. So she's a huge part of my life.
Well, take us through the day then. We get off the phone with you and it's early. And then I'm sure either you started to text him, or he started texting you, telling you how excited he was about Friday night, or you were texting him. So take us through the whole day.
Okay, so we actually spoke on the phone to talk about what time we were going to meet up and everything, and I sort of didn't explain how nervous I was. I know the message I got from all the people on your station and everything, but sort of felt like it was something that I just had to do, and I know that everybody thinks that that's wrong, but we made a time that we were going to meet up. I got ready to go out, obviously, and we met up for dinner.
All right, so hold on one sec. So you call him, and he calls you, and you say that you're excited about Friday night, and never once do you say to him, look, maybe this isn't something that we should do. Maybe we should just think about this?
No, I thought it in my head a million times, but it didn't come out of my mouth.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
All right, so you go ahead and you set the Friday night dinner up, okay?
So I was very nervous. I decided in my head, I said, you know, I knew that we would probably have drinks, and I said, you know, a glass of wine tops for me. I didn't want to be clouded by having had too much to drink, or I didn't want to be able to blame anything on anyone but myself. So we ended up meeting for dinner, and I had a glass of wine, and we had a great time. But that was really, that was it. I think somewhere in me, I knew I needed to see him and sort of maybe close it off in my mind, see him one time like that, and that was really it.
So did you close it off? Like, is it done?
I think so. I hope so. I mean, we had an amazing time. Look, I love this man. If my life were different, then it would be the beginning of something. It can't be, and I know that, and...
How did the night end? Like, what were the last 5 minutes of the evening?
Because, you know, he was thinking that as soon as dinner's over and I got a little wine in her, that this thing's going to progress in the way it sure looks like it's going to.
Right. I don't think that he thought that exactly because...
Yes, he did.
We discussed it. We discussed it at dinner. Once we were at dinner, we had a lot of great other conversations, but I told him how I was feeling. And I felt like I was going to throw up all over the table. So.
Like, what's one of the things that you were talking about at dinner while he was thinking of your boobs?
I don't know how to answer that.
How did you say it to him that this wasn't going to happen tonight?
I said, you know, look, I'm amazed by you. You floor me. But... This is too complicated, and I said, I know I'm going to hurt you. I'm going to hurt everybody involved in this because there's no clean way to do it. And I just feel like I got to figure my stuff out, and I hope that you're here when I get back, or I hope I figure it out the other way, but I feel like I'm just dragging you along.
Good for you. I mean, I think this has got to be praised. I mean, you went, but you didn't, I mean, go all the way. You didn't pull the trigger on it, so... Melissa's looking at me like there's no praise that should be.
My concern is the more time you spend with him and the more conversations you have with him, you are going to go in that path.
You for sure are. If you don't cut it off 100%, you're for sure going to go down
that
way.
Yeah. She, I mean, you're the, well, I hope this is the end. I hope. Well, you know what? It's up to you. And you don't sound definitive. So.
Yeah, you won't be able to be strong like this forever.
Did you kiss him at the end of the night?
Yeah, he drove me home. And at the door, he gave me, like, a soft, quick peck on the lips, and it felt more like a closure than anything else. It was almost like a fret. It wasn't, it wasn't passionate or anything like that.
We understand that, because Lindell just left for Australia, and we gave her all a quick, soft peck on the lips.
Yours lingered a little longer than the rest of ours. But.
Yeah, it's a sense of closure.
There was also her hands trying to push you off of her, and you just would not let her go.
But it felt like closure, right?
I know. She walked out the door, and Jeff's like, I guess no really does mean no, huh?
Yeah.
That's closure.
She was calling 911 at the time, but you didn't pay attention
to that. Everybody is calling up to rip on her here, but the truth of the matter is the end of the date happened, and she didn't sleep with this guy. At least a little bit of
but
that has
still
to be
went
praised.
But they still went out. Why did they go on the date?
If I was your husband listening into this entire conversation,
yes, he's going to be hurt. For sure he'd be hurt.
She has not ended this.
Hey, LaToya, go ahead. You're on Q100.
Good morning. She's ridiculous. She's going to continue to see this man. Friday, I kind of have some sympathy for her, but I don't know.
Well, you definitely got to cut this thing off. You do sound a little middle of the road. But if you continue to text, I mean, you got to break up with this guy like today.
See, what you're doing is you're trying to create an environment in which everything's happening to you. So you hope this is over. It's almost as if something happens, then, well, I just couldn't help myself. I just couldn't help myself is, to me, the most irritating sentence ever spoken because you knew exactly what you were doing. Take responsibility for what you've done and then end it. Or don't end it. End it with your husband or end it with this dude. But you can't have both.
Yeah, if you keep putting yourself in this situation, you know where it's going to end up. You already know that before it happens. You can only say no so many times. But the more you hang out with this guy, the more intoxicated you're going to be with him. And it's going to happen.
I mean, didn't you say, I hope that after this is all said and done, that he'll be back?
That he'll still be there.
He'll still be there? Mm-hmm. He'll still be there for you?
I basically said that I don't know which way it's going to go. And that's just the truth. I don't know if I'm going to be able to work it out with my husband. I want to, and I plan to, but I don't know that that will be the end. And I hope that if it doesn't work out, that somehow I will find this man from work that we'll be able to work it out. I know that he can't promise me that, and I know that I can't ask that of him. And I feel like everyone is so tunnel visioned. It's sort of like I understand that the whole situation sucks. And that I did something wrong, and I totally take responsibility for that. But it's a very complicated situation. It's not easy, and I feel like I made a pretty good decision in the end.
I think the question you need to ask yourself is, your relationship with your husband already over?
Yeah, and I'm saying I don't know the answer to that. I hope not. Well, and I plan to talk to him. I hope to go to marriage counseling if he will. I hope to figure it out, to find a spark back in it. And that would be the goal. And then if that doesn't work, then we'll see. You know, I don't know. We have years behind us. I can't answer that question in 1 second.
But here's the thing is, if you are honest in your appraisal that it may not be over with your husband yet, then you're not giving it a fair chance if you're still seeing this guy on the side. You can't fully resolve things with your husband if you always know that you have this backup plan, a text or a phone call away.
I don't plan to be seeing this guy on the side. I have to see him at work, and there's nothing I can do about that. But I don't plan to continue having Friday night dinners, and I don't plan to text him anymore. All I was saying was that I, you know, if things don't work out, that my secret dream is that stars would work out, that we'd find our way back to each other. And that's just the truth.
It's just the language. That my secret dream is that the stars would align and it's kind of like what Jim was saying. It sounds like you have given up on your marriage.
It's inevitable. I think you're trying to do the right thing because you know what the right thing to do is, but your heart wants to be with somebody else.
I mean, imagine your husband hearing you say that.
No, it would kill me, but my heart does want to be with someone else right now. But like you were saying the other day, that it has a lot to do with what's going on within my relationship right now. And so I don't know if I were to go in and if we were to dig into that together, my husband and I, for our sake, for my stepdaughter's sake, that maybe that would change. Right now, that's how I feel. What am I supposed to do?
I'd be willing to bet in a couple of months, if we check back with you, you're going to be in the same situation.
But you can't have both.
The thing is,
in the end, you cannot have both.
But at least for the weekend, I mean, it sounds like it was a Band-Aid, but at least for the weekend, she didn't do anything. But
yeah, I'm glad you didn't do anything.
So do you say congratulations for that?
I mean, I think that's
no.
She didn't sleep with the guy this weekend, but I think if you continue to put yourself in this situation, it's only a matter of time.
Yeah, you didn't sleep with him, but
you're cheating
on your husband emotionally for sure, because, I mean, you went on the date and, I mean, the stars aligned and you went and had wine and had a great time. I mean, you're putting yourself continuously in the situation that's tempting you.
We got to run, Joanne, but I appreciate you sharing your story with us. Thanks a lot.
Thanks.
All right, good luck.
The Burt Show.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. The rush of racing? Nothing beats it. But Chumba Casino comes close. Chumba's got fast spins, fun games, daily bonuses, and all the action you can handle. Now that's a ride. Ready to hit the throttle? Get in the driver's seat and head to ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Here's the deal. It's North Carolina, and I want to make this statement about local Domino's also. Do not punish the local Domino's here, because I can tell you right now, I'm hungover on Sunday, and I'm going to Domino's.com, and I don't care.
Any Domino's. Now, I have done the thing on Domino's, you know, where you watch them make your pizza, and I never saw it come up where it says, Jesus is farting on your pizza right now.
Insert booger here.
Which
is what's been going on.
That never came up on the...
So is that what Canadian bacon really is?
Right.
I hope not.
Well,
and I'm wondering if this is an isolated incident.
It totally is.
Or not just Domino's, but if there are those that work in the fast food community that would confess to us that this might happen to you guys a little bit more than you think. Look, it's not going to kill you, but there's some stuff on your tacos or your burgers or your pizza that... If I, as a worker, not happy that day, or someone in the drive-thru ticks me off, I take it out on the next dude's order. I pluck and drop.
You just need to accept the fact that
kick and drop.
I've ever lived near or on a college campus. If you eat takeaway food, you have eaten someone else's pubis.
Oh, dude, really?
Oh, come on.
That's
gross.
Nobody in this room has more fast food experience than I do. I worked at Taco Bell proudly for 4 years, and I wear it like a badge of honor. And I seriously never saw that in the 4 years, not from anybody.
See?
I never worked in fast
food. Well, now aren't there
either.
Surveillance cameras everywhere and all that kind of stuff?
But these knuckleheads.
It'd be worse now.
Yeah.
But these
idiots trying to do something like that.
We're doing it, and they were video. It wasn't a surveillance camera. It's a woman holding like a camcorder.
The video is up on our website right now. Yeah, and she puts it up on YouTube. These two clowns put it on YouTube. It's their last day at Domino's. They're in North Carolina. There's a series of four videos. Some of them are kind of graphic. Like one dude pulls his pants down and puts like a dish towel up his butt. Wipes his butt with it and then starts washing some of the dishes at this particular Domino's in North Carolina. It didn't happen here.
That's gnarly. Oh.
So one woman, she looks like she's about 20 years old. She's holding the camera and her male coworker she's just describing what's going on in these videos.
Did y'all see that? He just put a burger on those sandwiches. You remember the time when you sneezed? Do it again. And all the sandwiches goes.
Ew.
Now, Michael, I think that these sandwiches are going to be full of protein.
It's like us. Not with your mayo.
We all have our secret ingredients. Now, he just farted on the salami that goes on these sandwiches. And in about 5 minutes, they'll be sent out on delivery where somebody will be eating these. Yes, eating them. And little did they know that cheese was in his nose and that there was some lethal gas that ended up on their salami. Now that's how we roll at Domino's.
Yeah, let me explain that for a second. He starts putting like small pieces of cheese up his nose.
Gross.
And then putting them back on the pizza or back on the sandwiches also.
Oh.
Hey, Steven, good morning. You're on Q100.
Back in high school, I worked at a restaurant. It was Chick-fil-A. My friend actually got fired because he stirred the soup with his tallywhacker.
No way.
He stirred the soup with his penis.
No way.
How did they catch?
No way.
How did they catch the guy?
Yeah, well, that's the problem. He sent it out, and the person actually ate it, and we were being immature. I mean, we were watching it. I mean, it was gross. But he got called into the manager's office the next day, and that just so happened to be one of the days that they were reviewing tapes, and they saw it.
But isn't that something to brag about? I can stir the soup with my penis. But
yeah, it was nasty.
If you mess with Chick-fil-A, not only do you get fired, but you go to hell.
Right.
They're closed on Sundays. I mean, they're a God-fearing company. He's going to burn for the rest of his days.
I mean, as soon as he sat down in front of management and they turned the TV on, he must have known, even before they showed him what they saw, exactly what was going on.
Can you imagine being the security guy who has to review tapes and it's normally so boring?
I know,
he's
right?
Like, bored. What is that? Rewind.
Oh. And then he calls his friends. Come over here. I got to show you. Yeah.
There are no shortage of these calls.
Oh, I've never eaten.
And if you're going to fast food, these are going to freak you out, y'all.
Some fast food is so good that I will risk it.
Not after this call.
No.
Hey, Jake, good morning. You're on Q100.
I worked at Waffle House, and I used to have an open spot that leaked a lot of pus, and I rubbed it all over somebody's waffle because they were being jerked, and they sit there and ate it.
You guys got to remember something. My wife will do this from time to time.
Oh, my God.
Rub her sore on a waffle?
No. She will complain before we get our food.
Mm-mm.
That's the reason right there.
Mm-mm.
You wait Mm-mm. until you are Mm-mm. signing the check. Until you say anything. If what you're saying is going to be interpreted in any way, shape, or form as rude, you shut up until you are done.
I used to have a friend who would complain at every meal. He found something wrong with the service, the silverware, the tablecloth. He would complain to the server, I would say 90% of the time that I ever went out to dinner with him.
Why would you go out with him?
Well, that's what we thought. Every time there had to be something in his food.
That's a deal breaker. Yeah.
He ate a lot of pubis.
Adrian, good morning. You're on Q100.
I worked for a popular pizza chain, and probably the worst thing we ever did, other than body fluid or hair going on the pizza, was that all the meat is pre-cooked, so you can pop a handful in your mouth, chew it up, spit it right back out on the pizza.
Shut up.
Or a handful of cheese. So my advice to everybody is, and it always has been, when you call to order food or when you go to a restaurant, be nice.
Yeah.
Be very nice, and they won't even think twice about messing with your food.
Yeah, be rude at the end, or if you're never going back ever again. My
God. Ugh.
Hello.
Hey, hi. How are you?
Hi.
Gross. Well, I have one where a guy I had worked with at a hotel in Tampa is actually doing time in Florida prison because he had peed in the coffee. The security tape caught it. I had warned the general manager that he was doing this, and they thought I was crazy when I told them. They installed a security camera in the breakfast pantry area, caught him red-handed. Hillsborough County arrested him. It is a second-degree felony. It is basically you could have killed somebody by putting fluid of your own body inside the coffee. I had to testify in court in Tampa, and he got, I kid you not, 20 years in the state of Florida for doing this, because it is a second-degree felony. It's almost the same as attempted murder in the eyes of the DA down there.
And now he's in jail for 20 years.
Yeah.
Oh, God. Nasty.
Hey, Cora, good morning. You're on Q100.
I used to work at a Waffle House, and one of my cooks got so mad because I kept coming back trying to fix an order, and he had previously burned his hand about two nights ago, and so he had blisters all over his hand.
Oh, no, no.
It was so gross. And he was supposed to be wearing a glove, but he got really mad at this customer. He kept going to my customer and asking, you know, what's wrong with it? What's wrong with it? And it became a big scene. So he finally ended up cooking his meal right, but he definitely took off his gloves and just put his fluids all in his food and then watched him eat it.
Damn.
And I wanted to say something so bad because it was my customer, but at the same time, it's your tip at the end of the day.
Damn, so blister fluid in the food.
This is gross.
And this is the end of the Domino stuff here. And again, there are four different videos. And, I mean, it's boogers. It's, like I said, it's the guy's wiping his butt and washing the dishes. And here she is. She's holding the video camera.
Get the booger sticks out. Sprinkle them with sprinkles so they'll never know that there's snot on it. Our manager is unaware of what we are doing at the moment.
Yeah,
she is back in the back reading a newspaper, like always. While we're up here clowning around, putting snot in people's food. Now it's ready to be shipped to some unlucky customer.
I think the safest bet is for you just to relay that.
We could have done this for the next half an hour. The last shocking call would have been a guy full releasing on a pizza.
What? Oh, no, no, no.
I'm not even going to take it.
No.
You know what? If Adam Murphy came in right now, I would feel clean.
I know, right?
Like, I want a
roach. I'll take a roach over that.
I know. I want a roach pooping on my crouton.
Yeah, right.
No kidding.
Seriously. Mold in the ice chest? Definitely.
Bring it on.
Bring it on.
I'll take that.
I will climb in there and drink my soda from the bottom of the ice machine.
The Burt Show.
How to have fun anytime, anywhere. Step one, go to ChumbaCasino.com.
ChumbaCasino.com. Got it.
Step two, collect your welcome bonus.
Come to Papa, welcome bonus.
Step three, play hundreds of casino-style games for free.
That's a lot of games, all for free.
Step four, unleash your excitement.
Woo-hoo!
Chumba Casino has been delivering thrills for over a decade. So claim your free welcome bonus now and live the Chumba life. Visit ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
All right, so it feels a little strange to talk about my therapy here on the air, but I will. I've been seeing therapists on and off my whole life. You know, I grew up in a jacked up family where nobody really cared about each other very much. So I think I've sort of been in and out of therapy my whole life because my relationships with people just have never felt right. Girlfriends never felt right. My place in the world, just a little off. Something didn't feel right, you know, and there's some connection there. So I've sort of dabbled in it. For those of you that don't know, my wife was hooked on prescription medication for 5 years. And she's just come out of that, and she's recovering now. But it was a really, really brutal 5 years in our house. Like, my wife just turned into this person that I don't even know. Certainly not the woman that I signed up for, and she hasn't been the woman that I fell in love with. Just the drugs have taken her over. And it has it's been a rough 5 years for all of us, for everybody in the house. Well, without getting too much in-depth with it, she's over that now. And she kicked the habit. But for like 5 years now, I've sort of been in the house, but not in the house, if you know what I mean.
Like mentally?
Yeah. I've just been putting a lot of distance between Stacy and I because I'm not going anywhere. I've got kids. I made a commitment. So I've always said to myself that if I'm in a marriage, that you've got to give it 250% before you walk out the door. And when you have kids, at least in my head, you have to give 450%. So I did what I could do. Stacy was going through this very painful time. I was going through it with her, and then I sort of wasn't going through it with her also because I was keeping her at arm's length. And we disconnected. You know, I didn't know how to deal with it. Sometimes I was helping out, and other times I just mentally had to check out, you know, because this person was not the person that I fell in love with and I wasn't liking.
Well, I think a lot of times people don't realize the effect on caretakers in any situation. Because everybody's affected by anything that's going on, like you said. And so I think that the person going through whatever struggle they're going through has to go through it because it's there. For you who wasn't going through that mm-hmm. physically, you had to kind of stand by and endure it and then deal with it. And I mean, I think that there's so many people that don't know how to handle that situation.
And I think not only caretaker, but also addiction and the way that that runs through people's lives and marriages, you know?
Yeah, and the people around them aren't really allowed to talk and complain about it because the focus is on the person that's addicted and the pain that they're going through. So if you're the caretaker or you're in the house also, you sort of repress it and you're like, well, I'm going to put myself on the back burner right now because this person's going through real pain and mm-hmm. I can't really bitch about it. So you sort of keep it inside.
It's like depression. Like partners of people who have depression have to deal with the other person's depression.
The consistent thing is that the caretaker is not going through it. So you're not addicted to it, but you have to deal with it. So mm-hmm. you're feeling fine and you're ready to do whatever, but you can't. So, and over time, I mean, naturally, somebody's going to distance themselves from that.
And so. I did. And the relationship has deteriorated. So now she's off the pain medications and she kicked it in one weekend and she's just been awesome about it. And she has turned back into a better version of what she was before she was on the pain medication. It like should jumpstart our relationship again. This is, I got her back. In fact,
so proud of her too.
I'm really proud of her. I mean, to do that in one weekend and stick to it, like doctors would say, would predict right now, she's not going to stick with it. Because 99% of people that do it on their own and do it the way Stacy did in one weekend, go back on the pain medication. But I've seen this woman in a lot of pain this week based on her back and her eye, and she is not touching it.
And
she
I only
won't go
laugh
anywhere near
because
it.
You caused the eye problem.
Right. Not purposely, people.
On accident.
On accident. So to make a long story short, I've disconnected from my wife, and now that she's this new person, I'm having a tough time getting back into that mode. I've kept her at arm's length for so long and disconnected that I just don't feel there. I just don't feel it's there.
It's like that mode almost has become more regular.
That's the routine now. That's what I know. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's 5 years. We're not talking about 5 weeks. Mm-hmm. We're talking about 5 years. So I decided to go to start therapy for it. You know, how do I get back, you know, to this place that I need to be with my wife? I never fell out of love with Stacy. I just fell out of like with her a long time ago. And I'm just having a tough time getting back into it. So I go to see a therapist and we're working on that. And while we're working on that, of course, when you go to see a therapist, you don't just work on one issue. A whole bunch of crap starts coming up. So what I have conveniently done is I've sort of repressed how bad my childhood has been. Like my dad and my mom weren't physically abusive. They just didn't care. You know, there was never a priority in the house. There was never a vacation. There was never a birthday celebration. The kids never came first. It was always them, 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 them. And the kids just didn't matter, you know? That's how I grew up, mm-hmm. all the way until I left the house at 18 years old. So the ramifications of that, I didn't think it was a big deal because I got a lot of friends that felt like to me were in a worse situation than I were. I got a lot of friends that used to get beat by their dads every time they came in the house and stuff like that. So I've just sort of blocked it all out. You know, it's painful to talk about. I just didn't think it was as big a deal as others. And I didn't really know how big a deal it was until I have made my therapist cry twice in therapy over the last year. That is hard
wow.
to do.
What?
Wow. I seriously did not realize how bad it was until she teared up on me twice. And I'm like, really? Is it that bad? Because when you grow up in that environment, that's all you know. Mm-hmm. So as I'm relaying the stories to her and I'm sort of doing it in this emotionless way, she's like, are you kidding me? Really? I'm like, yeah. So that's...
Well, that's not something you want to hear from your therapist.
No.
Are you kidding me? Of all the years that she's been a therapist.
Dude, she's tearing up. I'm talking to her and she's tearing up and I literally would stop the session going, are you crying?
Like, wait a second. I'm paying to cry in here.
Not you.
Oh, my God.
Wow.
Like, Bert. I mean, you've always said when the rest of us have talked about family in here that it's hard for you.
Yeah, it is. It's really hard.
Well, I also wondered.
I didn't think it was that bad.
I also wonder when you had kids if that all this had to surface, kind of resurface a little bit.
Well, part of this is part of my homework assignment this weekend is that I've compartmentalized all of it. Like, what happened to me in my childhood and how bad it was, I've just sort of like forgotten about, literally forgotten about. I can't remember things that you guys can remember in your childhood. I have zero recollection on. Like, you probably have memories from when you were 6, 7, 8 years old.
Like, I got first day of school.
I've got nothing.
Really?
I've got nothing. And when you guys probably have pictures that your parents took of you on those days to jog those memories, because my parents just didn't care, I got no point of reference. No pictures, no nothing. So I can't remember anything. So I haven't really attacked this problem, my therapist thinks, for years and years and years and years. So I'm going to New York City this weekend because my mom's husband is celebrating his birthday. So we're going to be in Manhattan. So my therapist has suggested that we drive to Long Beach, where I grew up, and drive around the neighborhood a little bit and knock on the door of my childhood home and go in there and see if I can jog some memories loose.
Wow. For what reason? What's the purpose of that? Like, if you do jog those memories and those childhood memories come up, like,
she feels like,
will that heal?
She feels like when I tell the story of my childhood, that I tell it like it is, like it's a book, and that I don't attach the feelings to it and how painful it is. And until I do that and feel it and can jog some of those memories, that it's going to be a difficult therapy for me. So she thinks by me cruising around Long Beach and by me knocking on the door and walking through that house a little bit, that maybe it'll accelerate things a little bit.
Because if you're if your mind is blocking that out, like, that's a total protection reason. One of my best friends growing up had abuse in the home and abuse of her in the home. And there were times when we were older that she would ask me questions about what happened, because she had literally blacked out so many parts of her childhood because, like, her emotions and her brain shut it down because she obviously didn't feel she could handle thinking about those things again. But
it's a defense mechanism.
But you can't process it or heal from it as long as it's blacked out.
And I've never talked to people about it before, so I just assumed nobody remembered anything from their childhood. I guess, like, if you don't talk to people about it, you just assume everybody else is the same way. So while I'm talking to my therapist about it, she's like, you can't remember a birthday? I can't remember a birthday, not a birthday party. I barely remember the neighborhood. I don't remember nothing.
You had siblings, right?
I've got two stepbrothers.
Two stepbrothers that were older than you?
Both older. But
how many years?
You're asking me questions I don't even know, because everybody's so jacked up in my family and disconnected that I haven't talked to these people in 25 years. My cousin found me on Facebook and started sending me a couple of pictures from when I was a kid. Those are the only pictures I have.
Mm-hmm. Now, your stepbrothers, were you ever in the same house with them?
I lived with my brother Andy for a little while.
That's the first time I think I've ever heard his name.
Mm-hmm. Oh, really?
Yeah, same here.
No kidding. Yeah, I lived with Andy for a while here, but my mother gave up all three children at one point. She gave up my oldest brother to her first husband. She gave up the middle child to my dad's sister. And then she gave me up to my dad.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
Sounds jacked up. And remember, this woman is a family therapist in New York City right now.
A successful.
Very successful family therapist. Good morning, Ryan. You're on Q100.
So bizarre.
Yeah.
Hey, Bert, how you doing?
All right, man. What's going on? I don't mean to be a downer, man. I'm just...
Oh, no. That's what made me call you. I mean, I'm going through the same exact thing you just said about your wife. But, I mean, my wife works at night. She's a dancer, and she's been doing this for a couple years now. I've got my two little girls, you know, that I keep every single night from the time I walk through the door when I get off work till the time they go to bed. And I've been doing this for quite a long time, and she just got hooked on these prescription pills. And like you said, she is not the same person I married. I mean, she went from this sweet, gorgeous woman to this absolutely hateful woman you can't ask a question to. This is the fourth time she's walked out the door and left me with these two little girls, regardless how many times I've tried to take her back. And I just cannot figure out what to do about this. I can't question her. I can't ask her anything about it. I mean, if you mention it, bring it up, it's like somebody's going to attack you like a rabid dog.
Yeah, I don't know how to... I can't give you any advice on it at all. I really can't, because I don't think I handled it very well. So I wish I could say that there was some magic word to get her into therapy, but I don't have one. Stacy just figured out. I mean, I was always sort of hounding her, but the thing about my wife is this, is that she's just such a strong person that when she was telling me and I would bring up my concerns to her, she would tell me that she's not addicted. Like, she could give it up in a second, and I just know her personality. When she tells me that, I believe her. And then one day she just decided that's it, no more. She couldn't actually get her prescription. She was in a different state, so she was forced to go without the pills, and it motivated her just to stop altogether. So she went through 3 or 4 days of complete detoxing where she was shaken on a couch, and she was miserable, and she got out of it, and she hasn't gone back since.
the phrase, I can quit anytime I want to, that's the red flag phrase for anybody with any kind of addiction, you know?
Yeah.
I would say this, that if I had to do it all over again, if I could give any advice to anybody that's going through this with their wife or their husband, I would say get involved immediately. Don't be scared. It's going to be ugly. They're going to argue with you. They're going to fight with you. But if I had to do it all over again, I would have manned up more about it. I would have said, you don't even realize what her doctors told her, her mom told her, I told her. But she's so damn strong and so damn proud. I thought, look, she's got a handle on everything. And I would have fought more. Mm-hmm. That's the only thing I would do differently. Hey, Carla, good morning. You're on Q100.
My advice to Bert is don't go. Don't do it. I don't know how bad it was, but there's a reason why you forgot things that you forgot.
Well, it's definitely
it still affects him though.
Yeah, and I'm not one to run away from stuff like that. I mean, I am the way I am right now, and I'm trying to make changes. And I think the only way you can do that is to be courageous about it. And this is something that I actually want to do now.
I mean, it still jogs the memories and stuff that's like causing you pain now.
Yeah, I want that. You know,
well,
I want to go.
Have it.
I want to knock on the door. I want
to
go through
around it.
Right. I'm not scared to go through. I want to go through it now.
Mm-hmm. It's putting a Band-Aid on a gunshot wound. You know, it's like is to me is the only thing I can think of because it's not going to heal that wound, and it's always going to be there. You just got to get in there, clean it out, and then it'll finally.
And I think the only way to do, I think the only way to do that. Thanks. What a nice
stop
analogy.
Oozing. And stop getting infected.
And I really think the only way to do that is to attack it head on. Yes. And if I don't do it, then I'm going to, I think, regret the opportunity to do it because I'm just not up there all that often. So I might as well go through it. And then I'm supposed to go to a birthday party that night.
Oh, yay.
That's the more interesting party, part of the whole thing.
Now, does your mom have to go with you or is it just you by yourself?
Just Stacey and I are going to go by ourselves. So I'll let you guys know how it goes on Monday morning.
Hey, The Bert Show.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Victory Lane? Yeah, it's even better with Chumba by my side. Race to ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. CTNCs 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
Morning, Amber.
Hey, good morning.
Good morning. How are you today?
I'm a little angry, but that's okay. Well, I'm just trying to figure out what to do.
Well, at first opinion without hearing the entire story, judging, I guess, is that I just don't think best friend can date the ex-husband in any circumstance at all if you guys are truly best friends.
One would think, but then I had discovered all this stuff, and it really freaked me out. So I'm just trying to figure out how this all unfolded.
Well, Bert talked about best friends. So how long has your best friend been your best friend?
Oh, we've been best friends since high school. In fact, she was in my wedding.
Okay. Oh, all right. Ooh, okay. And then how long were you married to your husband?
I think about 6 or 7 years.
Okay.
Here's the deal. We were living in Phoenix, and about a year ago, I was getting divorced. It was typical cliche, nasty divorce. As we were getting divorced, I would obviously go over to my best friend's house to be comforted, and et cetera, et cetera. And she gave me her login information to get into Facebook because I never had a Facebook page. And I thought it was interesting that even though he and I were still going through this nasty divorce, he was still a friend on her Facebook page. Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm.
Like, it was like a little weird. So I eventually had moved to Atlanta, which is awesome, and I would still check up using her login page on my husband.
Okay.
You're looking at who he's dating and friends with and pictures and vacations.
The new ads and exactly. The
relationship
whole,
status.
Like,
yeah.
Yeah.
And, of course, it's a little addicting.
And
so,
a little unhealthy. That's not so good.
What, Facebook or just being on somebody else's?
Just following your ex-husband's life, period. Mm-hmm. I mean, he's your ex-husband for a reason.
Right.
Right, but...
Whatever.
I had these suspicions always that he wasn't, very truthful to me. And so it's interesting to see. I've caught him in, like, a few little lies through even things I found on his Facebook page.
But he's your ex-husband, so that's irrelevant.
Yeah, but I'm talking about even things that had happened while we were married.
Okay.
Like,
okay,
they're references.
Right.
So about 6 months ago, my best friend asked me if I was still doing it, and I said, no, not, of course not, but I still was using her Facebook page. So I'm scheduled to fly out tonight to go to Phoenix to see her, and I'm supposed to get in about 8:30, and just for fun, still using her Facebook page, and as I'm there checking his stuff out, an iChat pops up. from him.
All right, so he thinks he's chatting with your best friend at this point.
Yeah.
Because you're using her account.
On her. And it pops up, hey, what are you doing? And I could see some of the history of their messages back and forth. And one of them was confirming a date for tonight.
Oh.
And I land tonight. Like, I'm supposed to land about 8:15. What she doesn't know is I changed my flight to land like 2:30, mm-hmm. and I want to bust them on their date because it said where to meet and had XOXO and winks and smiley faces. And
hold on one second.
What didn't you hear?
Am I missing something? Now you're going out there to visit your friend?
I'm going out to see her.
So a chat popped up confirming a date with your ex-husband before you're supposed to land.
Yeah.
So she was gonna go, she's going to go out with her
so
ex-husband before she picks her up from the airport.
I got it.
So, and so she changed her flight to get there early so that she could be there and then bust them during their dinner.
Okay. All right.
And
I got
she's never said anything. And once in a while, I'll say to her, I'm like, oh, have you seen Brandon lately? And, you know, and she'll be like, no, not at all. And he's such a dirtbag and after what he did to you.
So no indication at all from her that they've had any interaction. Zero.
Zero.
And sucks. When you're looking at the history of these messages together, is it clear that they've been seeing each other and that this meeting tonight is really like a romantic date?
It's crystal clear because it's not like, oh, this is interesting or whatever. Like, there's an email history like in her inbox. Like, I went to her inbox. I can see how it started. To me, what that says is, like, when you first start dating someone, you keep all of their messages, like their voicemail messages, their emails, and she has everything. She has the entire history from the time right after I left, shortly after.
Here's what I'm trying to get at, though. I want specifics on what those instant messages and some of those emails said, because you've already proven that you're a little psycho when it comes to your ex-husband anyway. So I'm wondering if there's anything in these emails or instant messages that might be innocent enough, but you're interpreting as an affair because you're just not thinking clearly because
they have a
the
date.
Players are who they are.
But they have a date tonight.
No, they spent the holidays together.
Oh.
Okay.
And because there was references where he wrote, it was nice meeting your family.
Oh.
And then there's another one that said, I forget exactly how it was worded, but can we do it exactly what we did last night again tonight? Smiley face, heart, smiley face.
So this is a relationship, both emotional and physical at this point.
All right. So my question is, have you walked yourself through how this is all going to go down when you get there and you bust them? Like, what you're going to say, what you're going to do afterwards, and how you're going to turn around and leave again?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well,
you need to rebook a flight, like, later tonight to come back home because you don't need to be stuck in Phoenix after this disaster happens and you're completely an emotional wreck, and then you're left, what, standing there staying at your best friend's place?
I'm not going to go back to her place. I'm going to get a hotel room where I'll call and
I agree with Jen. You got to come back to Atlanta. I don't think that you should sit there in
I don't
Phoenix.
Even think you need to go. I think you just call your friend and go, hey, look, I know you have a date tonight. And you're obviously busy, so I'm not going to come visit. Click, save the ticket, go to some Florida beach or whatever.
But you know how, like, sometimes we've talked about this on there, you need to see it with your own eyes.
Yeah.
And, you know, they could deny. But if you see it with your own eyes, then it's 100%.
But you know that you see it with your own eyes, it's not going to stop it. Your best friend is pretty much gone. I mean, I agree with Jen.
It's already gone.
It's your ex-best friend and your ex-husband.
Let these people go and cut them out of your life.
Right.
After whatever confrontation you want to have with them or whatever discussion or see it with your own eyes or whatever, you just need the following plan. You know, do you give her back like a scrapbook of your friendship and be like, here you go. It's all yours. I don't want this anymore. Turn around, get in the cab and go to the airport. Like, you need a plan of
action.
An
exit plan.
Good morning, Marcia. You're part of the Burt Show, huh?
I just want to share that after my divorce of 14 years, I consoled myself with my very, 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 very dear friend, and she was very sweet and listened to all of my problems, and I did not know until much later, was also consoling my ex-husband, and they started dating, and they kept it a secret. The bottom line is, it's none of your freaking business.
Uh-oh. Oh,
these are grown adults, and they can do what they want, and all I can say is that people have different relationships. People work differently together. And after I found out, I told them, bless you both. If you can make this work, then bless you both.
No. She's a bigger person to be able to forgive and let go like that.
I couldn't do that.
That's really, really amazing.
I know it sounds that way, but I think people talk themselves into thinking they're that way. I think it's very difficult for a person to actually
it's
do that.
It's probably healthy. I mean, if you can do it, I'm sure it's very healthy for you to go, that was part of the past. I'm going to cleanse.
No
I'm
going
to be the bigger person.
And
but I think there are very few people that
strength.
Can actually do that.
Very few.
I have one really good friend of mine who is so forgiving. She would honestly be the only person I know that would actually be able to do that and let it go and really, truly in her heart, be forgiving and truly want the best for them.
I don't admire that. I got to be honest with you.
I do too.
I think if it's me and I find myself in this situation, I'm doing exactly what you're doing. I got to go see it with my own eyes. And then when I do see it, that's it. I sever both relationships. They never happen.
Even though you read about it clearly in exchange between the two of them, you still need to look at it.
I think I'd have to see it.
And I think most women would. Closure.
I'm not a woman. Just by the way.
Awesome, Wendy.
Bert, you're my best girlfriend.
What an honor.
No, I think most women would. I mean, it's the whole closure thing.
Bert's like, I know what you're saying.
Nice to finally have closure about it.
What's her name?
Her name is Amber.
Hey, Amber, are you listening to any of this? Is this like computing with you?
It's not. I just am still seeing red right now because I'm so angry and I have got. I want her to look me in the eyes.
Mm-hmm. Oh, this is why women need to.
Well, I agree with it, Wendy. It's closure because you get mad enough to where you can walk away. Because for a lot of women, it takes you going to the edge to be able to finally cut it loose. But I so agree with Jen about booking an exit flight. Mm-hmm. You cannot stay in Phoenix tonight.
And do you have any close girlfriends who are your actual friends that can know your plan and know what you're doing? Or your mom, maybe, or like somebody? And you need a go-to person to call, somebody in your life that you can depend on. Or just somebody she can be on the phone with.
Somebody just to emotionally lean on after that, because that's going to be a pretty strong night right there. Well, Amber, let's talk to you either tomorrow if you're back here or on Monday and find out if you actually went or you stayed or you saw it with your own eyes and how they all handled it, okay?
I'm definitely going and I'm gonna walk in. I'm in shock.
I'm so sorry. For whatever reason, sometimes we have people on here and I don't believe they're gonna actually do what they tell us they're gonna do.
But you have
the fire in your voice. I think it's gonna happen.
Mm-hmm. All right, I'll definitely keep you guys posted.
Thanks.
I like your exit strategy. Like, have a plan, because I didn't have a plan.
I'll fly up to Vegas.
There you go.
That's you know what? Vegas is built for situations like this.
The Bert Show.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Victory Lane? Yeah, it's even better with Chumba by my side. Race to ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. CTNCs 21+. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.